Verse 38, it says, now he arose from the synagogue, that is Jesus, and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and she served them. And now when the sun was setting, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on them, every one of them, and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out, saying, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Guys, today, just the very name of the title, some of you immediately said, that's me. Meeting overwhelming needs without being overwhelmed. Some of you this morning feel like you're overwhelmed. And as I said, even in the prayer, if you don't feel overwhelmed, you're going to. At one point or another, you're going to be overwhelmed. And I can't think of a person who was more overwhelmed, or rather had more opportunities to be overwhelmed than Jesus Christ himself. No one could have possibly had more demands on him and more of a purpose from God in his life than Jesus Christ had. And yet, we see that Jesus was able to maintain the needs of the people around him, the busyness of his schedule, the responsibilities that he had, without becoming overwhelmed. I can't do that. At least I'm not real good at it yet. Now I'm getting better at it. But there are still times, I have to admit, when I'm suddenly overwhelmed. And I know that you're in the same boat. And as I said, some of you this morning are sitting there and you're overwhelmed right now. Now let me say this. When it comes to meeting needs and having needs met, the needs of man are never met. And your needs are never met. And that's okay. God knows that we have needs, and God knows that we have continual needs. But the problem is, when we are God's servant, when we stand in the place of the Lord to meet those needs, we begin to take on other people's burdens. And sometimes we can become overburdened with their burdens when we have our own on top of us already. Some of you are ministering to people right now in different places that they're highly demanding. You have great drain on your life, and yet you realize God has called me to minister. And so what we're going to look at today is, how do we deal with that? And as I said, there's not a mom in here who doesn't have kids who doesn't know what it's like to be overwhelmed at some point or another. There's not a dad in here who doesn't know what it's like to have deadlines to meet and bosses to satisfy and all these different demands that come into our life. And yet there has to be a way that we can meet these needs, and on top of it, still be able to meet the needs of those around us. Now, I think about the world. That is, those that don't know the Lord. Listen, they have the same requirements on their life that we have. They have the same responsibilities in the sense of regular worldly duties. But guys, you've got another load on your back. And that is, you are there to minister to those around you that need Jesus Christ and that don't know Jesus Christ, and you're going to be called upon. You're going to be called upon to minister. You're going to be called upon to pray. You're going to be called upon to do all kinds of things. And you're going to need to have the strength to be able to do it without becoming overwhelmed. How to be able to survive, if you will. And today we're going to see that, because we're going to see Jesus in the midst of an overwhelming situation and yet able to maintain. And there's really four main things we're going to focus on. And that is, number one, we're going to see Jesus meeting the overwhelming need. And notice I say overwhelming, because when Jesus showed up on the scene, there was no one else like him. I mean, you might be able to pray with somebody, but you can't make the deaf hear and the blind see and the lame walk. God may use you that way. God used Jesus that way every time. And you can imagine the needs that were on his life. The Lord had great needs on him. So first is meeting the overwhelming need. And secondly, finding the strength to endure or survive in the midst of the overwhelming need. Then setting the priorities so that we know what needs to meet. And guys, really lastly, and the ultimate goal, and what Jesus did beautifully and we've got to learn to do in the midst of all the needs and all the demands, is finishing what God has called us to do. Notice verse 38, what it says. He says, now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now remember the setting. What was the setting? Well, we actually split the service up here into two parts. Last week, remember, we saw Jesus go in the synagogue. And he began giving the message. He began teaching, and all of a sudden he began to have opposition. We saw a demon stand up and cry out, and you know, just the normal things that happen at church every week, right? No, I'm joking. Things happen in Jesus' life, in his ministry, that don't always happen in ours. And sometimes it does in different ways. As we said, oftentimes the demonic realm is at work, and I believe right now the demonic realm probably at work, very possibly to cause distractions in your mind, distractions in your heart, as you're hearing the word of God, maybe not in a audible manifestation of somebody standing up and crying out as they did with Jesus. But at the same time, Jesus is ministering to the people and facing the opposition. He has just finished a service, if you will. He has just finished serving God's people and opposing the enemy. Now, why do I say that? And guys, I want to point this out. Those of you that have stepped out into ministry and have tried to minister to your family and friends, you realize that it's a lot harder to do than even physical exertion. There's something about spiritual exercise, doing things for God, that is a much greater drain on the human body, emotionally and physically, than even physical exercise. And those of you that step out and do that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What's my point? My point is this. Jesus had been ministering spiritually to the people. Jesus was getting audible opposition from the demonic realm in the midst of his sermon. Now, that's pretty tough. And now he goes home to rest. Hey, service is over. Time to go home and kick the feet up. We might look at it this way. Just finished a hard day's work. Time to go back, kick up the heels, take some rest, have something for lunch, enjoy ourselves. Watch what happens. He comes back from this service. He goes back to Simon's house. But notice this. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. Now, notice this. First of all, I said the Lord comes home. He's already been serving. He's already been ministry. There's probably already some level of drain that's been on him as he's been ministering to the people, as he's been battling spiritually, if you will, even in the audible, as we said, demonic realm. But secondly, notice when he went home, when he left his workplace, if you will, and I know it wasn't work. Sometimes people say, what do you do for work? I say, really nothing. Now, don't take that wrong. I serve the Lord, and being a pastor, some people think, well, you know, you don't do anything, but you know, once a week you teach for an hour and go home or whatever. That's not what it is to be a pastor. You work very hard and you put your time in. That's part of it. But the point is that because it's for the Lord and because it's so enjoyable, although it might be tiring, it doesn't seem like work. Now, some of you have jobs that way. You love what you do. So to you, it's not like work. But still, at the same time, when you come home, what's the result? You're tired. Dad, you've been working all day. You've been serving all day. You come home. What do you expect when you get home? You expect the couch to be available. And you expect to not have any demands on you because you've been working hard. But here's where we get challenged today by Jesus and his example. And I speak specifically to the dads, the fathers, the men in this room, even if you don't have children. You have to remember, just because we're done with our work day in the world, when we go home, we're not done serving. And I think, say amen. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of expected that, I guess. But let me just say this. Listen, I think the temptation, and let me say this. Listen, I get tired just like the rest of us men. But when we go home, we have to remember that our wives have also been working all day long. And especially if they have children. And when we come in the door and we think now our day is over, we've got another thing coming. And we've got to realize that, guys, listen, not only do we need to do it, we need to realize that's something that's expected. It is expected of us when we come home to say, you know what? I have now finished serving in the world. But guys, does that mean we don't serve our home? How many even pastors lose their own families because they serve so much in the body of Christ, but they neglect what God wants them to do in their own home? You see, Jesus understood this principle. It would have been easy for Jesus to say, wait a minute, look, I come home. I'm ready for the pot roast. Service is over. I've been fighting demons. What have you been doing? Okay, I come in. And all of a sudden, now you're coming making more requests of me. I'm tired. I need a break. What's the first thing they do? They walk in the house and Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. And they say, Lord, we need you to serve. We need you to help her. There's things that aren't done yet. The day's not over. And what does the Lord say? Well, I can't believe this. How could you make requests of me? Certainly, I deserve a little bit of break here. You know what he does? Without complaint, without a word, he walks over and begins to minister to the need in that home. And although that may be hard for us men, it's easy for me to say because I'm one of us. And it may be easy for the women to say amen, but I speak as one who used to think, when I went home, now I deserve my time off. I'm not saying we don't deserve rest time. Please don't misunderstand me. We do. But I'm saying that even as the people that we've been ministering to and or serving in whatever capacity in the world need their needs met, when we get home, guess what? There are other little needs to be met. There's our wife. If we have kids, there's our children. If we have guests, if we have people that call, whatever the case might be, those needs need to be met. And Jesus comes home and he goes for it. He doesn't just deal outside. He comes on the inside now to deal with this. And notice they made request of him. And Luke points out her that she had a high fever. Now, why do I say that? Well, Luke was a doctor, if you remember that. And so Luke gives details about medical situations that we don't get from some of the other gospels. But fevers were broken up into two different categories in that day. High fever and mild fever or high and low, serious, non-serious. Here's Peter's mother-in-law sick with a serious fever. We don't know what it was. It doesn't tell us. But we know that it was serious. We know that they didn't exactly have the remedies in their day that we have today. And even still today, we get high fevers. But now we see the Lord again having this demand on him to reach out and to minister. And notice it says, so he stood over her. And notice this. This is interesting to me. He rebuked the fever and it left her. And immediately she arose and she served them. Now, there's a couple things I want to point out. Do you find it unusual that the Lord rebuked a fever? I don't typically rebuke fevers. I think, okay, give me some Tylenol. Or let me go to the doctor, whatever. The Lord, and the word there it speaks of, he spoke to it firmly, sharply. He rebuked the fever. That doesn't give us the exact words that he said. But it's almost as if this fever was personified. It's almost as if this fever had a personality. Now, don't get me wrong, but, and again, the scripture doesn't make it clear here, but because of the fact that he rebuked the fever, and the language reveals that this fever had a firm grip on her. Interesting. I think that maybe there's a little bit more going on behind the scenes here. Again, I can't emphatically say that this was a demonic illness, but we do see in scripture that oftentimes demons have the power to bring illness. Now, there's two kinds of illnesses. And we need to be unclear on this because there are some false teachings that are out there that say that every illness is demonic and that God doesn't want anybody sick. And I'm not saying that God enjoys anyone sick. But the point is that, guys, sometimes there are demonic illnesses. The Bible teaches that. That the enemy can actually make someone ill, if you will. We see Paul. Paul was ill. And the Bible says that it was a demon. That it was buffeting his body. And he had this illness and he asked for the Lord to lift this illness. And God said, you know what? I'm not going to lift that illness, Paul, because I've got my reasons for it being on your life. My grace is sufficient for you. And I personally believe that the reason God allowed Paul to have this continual illness that God didn't lift is so that Paul wouldn't become puffed up and prideful. I mean, how many of you guys have been taken up to the third heaven? Remember, it's broken up in three parts. This is the first heaven. Space is the second. Guys, the third heaven's where God lives. Paul got to go there and come back. Now, it would have been easy to do that and say, you know what? I'm going to write a book, my afterlife experience, and I'll sign autographs and sell it and make lots of money. He didn't do that. But he saw things that were even unlawful for him to try to express. I think it would be easy to get puffed up. Can you imagine? So what's your training? Well, I went to so-and-so and so-and-so, and I have all these different degrees. And what about you? Well, I went to heaven, spent some time with God, and came back down. And you know how the flesh can get. You see, the higher the viewpoint, then the more chance of pride getting in. And so I think that God allowed it for his reasons. And guys, sometimes I think God allows illnesses in our lives for his purposes. God knows what we need and he knows what it takes to get us where he wants us to be. And some of us, without going through hard times, hard trials, tough illnesses, will never get where Jesus wants us to be. That doesn't mean he doesn't love us. That means he does. Now, why do I say that? Because there are those, first of all, there's the sometimes. There are illnesses, I do believe, that can be demonic. This may be one. The scripture is not clear. It is interesting. He does rebuke the fever and that the fever had a firm grip on her. And immediately the fever left. And we see her immediately begin serving, has been released and just free from whatever this was. But understand this. There are also illnesses that are out there just because there's little things called germs that float around and go in our nose and down our throat and make us sick. And I think the danger is that when we start ascribing every illness to a demon, do I think that it could be? Well, it's possible. Well, I think most illnesses, and let me say this, I believe most illnesses are because we live in a world where there's a lot of sickness and there's a lot of disease and we catch that. But at the same time, guys, there may be oppression in your life that God's simply saying, you know what? You need to bring Jesus in the situation here. And how many times do we run to the doctor first? Now, don't get me wrong. I have no problem with doctors. You know, you want to get a blood transfusion. You want to take your medicine. Listen, I encourage you. You have a strep throat, get your penicillin. That's how our bodies work. And God's blessed us with doctors. But I think that sometimes we run to doctors and maybe doctors don't always have the answers. And then we get frustrated because they don't. And the Lord says, you know what? I'm trying to get you to run to me. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been to every doctor you can think of. You've been to everything. You've gone, you've spent all this money. And yet God is saying, you know what? Have you cried out to me yet? Maybe God is wanting you to cry out to him. You see, they knew where to get help. They said, you know what? We need Jesus in this situation. Lord, could you come over and pray for her? And that's where the body of Christ comes in. We pray for each other. Yes, we pray. Yes, we ask the Lord. Yes, we go to the doctor and we get prescriptions for what's wrong. But sometimes God just wants to show his glory. And here with Peter's mother-in-law, the Lord comes over and just stands over, rebukes the fever and heals her. And notice this, after he heals her, and I love this, she gets up and begins to serve. Notice this, immediately it says, she arose and served them. And is that not the response we should have when the Lord touches our life? Guys, a lot of us in this room have been touched by the Lord. And notice her response was, you know what? There's a need here. I've been served. Now I'm going to serve. I want to encourage you in that. I think there's two ways to look at it. We live in the Bible Belt. We live in the slave driver South, if you will. And I mean by that term in the sense of the churches. Oftentimes I think we get this image in our mind that it's what we need to be doing for God. And if we're not being slave driven to be doing things for God, that somehow we're not serving the Lord. Guys, I believe the Bible teaches just the opposite. I believe the Bible teaches it's what God has done for us. And because of what God has done for us, now what do? We serve him. Notice the Lord came over and served her first. He loved her. He touched her. And then she got up and immediately began to serve. And I think there's a very interesting pattern there. And I think a very logical pattern. So she begins to serve. She gets up and takes care of him. And notice what it says in verse 40. It says, now when the sun was setting, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And guys, now we come to the next phase of this thing. He already was going into a tough day. The Lord already had a hard day. He comes home from work. There's needs in the family. There's needs in the home that need to be dealt with. The Lord has dealt with them. Now the sun's going down. Certainly now it's time to rest. Certainly now the Lord can go to bed early. Certainly now he can kick back. Not so. Notice what happens. When the sun goes down, they begin crowding around the home saying, Jesus, we need you to touch us. Now, why when the sun went down? Remember, this was a Sabbath. And on the Sabbath day, you couldn't carry anyone or you couldn't do any healing. That was considered work by the Pharisees. So all the people sitting back in their homes, did you see what happened today? Yes, Jesus rebuked a demon. Wow, what happened? Well, listen, tonight what we're going to do, we're going to take all of our, you know, ill people, sick people over to see Jesus. And everybody began to grab their family members and go over. And I can imagine this. Now listen, moms, dads, when you're at the end of the day, when you're tired, when you think you've given all that you can give, and all of a sudden there's those new needs that arise, what's your response? I know what mine would be at this point. It would be like, look, guys, I appreciate this. I'm glad you think that we can pray for you and God's going to help you. But let's just get some rest and we'll take up with all these tomorrow. It's been a long, hard day. Watch what the Lord does. It says they brought everyone to him, everyone that was sick and had various diseases, and he laid his hands on them, every one of them, and healed them. Guys, this is amazing. The Lord not only took the time to meet the need, he took the individual time for each need. Notice he laid hands on every one of them and prayed. Again, I don't know what you guys would have done, but I know what I would have done. I said, give me a break. I need to rest. Now, the question comes up, well, if the Lord did this, how did he keep going? How in the world did the Lord continue to meet these needs? I mean, here he was already ministering. Here he was battling one obvious demon in the church, and now possibly even a demon in his own home when he comes home and finds his mother-in-law sick. Maybe yes, maybe no. But either way, the strain's upon him, the service that's needed. Now everybody shows up at his doorstep wanting more. How did he do it? Some of you this morning are saying, you know what? I've got all these needs on me, and I'm tired. How am I supposed to do it? How did Jesus do it? I see him meeting the needs. I see the overwhelming demand. I see him taking the time to reach out and touch those that needed to be touched. How did he do it? And guys, that brings us to the second thing we need to note here in this passage, and that is finding the strength to serve, getting the power to serve. Notice what it says right here I want to kind of jump ahead. Notice verse 42. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. Now, we'll come back to that in a moment, but I want to bring up my point. How did Jesus continue to meet these needs? How did the Lord reach out when all these people were reaching out to him and continue to do it? Guys, he kept his priorities straight. He set aside the time to seek the Lord and be with the Lord. And some of you right now, in the midst of your overwhelmed situation, you're saying, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm too tired to seek the Lord. How can I possibly do any more than I'm already doing? Listen, the most important thing in the believer's life, if we're going to meet the overwhelming needs that come our way, and even just the general needs in life, is to have first things first. As you've heard the saying, keep the main thing the main thing. And that is, we have got to have time alone, apart, in a deserted place with the Lord. You see, that is the strength of how Jesus was able to meet these needs. The Lord had full days. He had busy days. He had hard times. But he made sure that he set aside the time to get alone with the Lord and to get the strengthening that he needed. Because notice what happens. Verse 41, and during this time of healing, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew he was the Christ. Now remember, we said last week, the demons knew who Jesus was. How did the demons know? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus created all things, which means he created what? Yeah, the demons. But now wait a minute, did Jesus create them as demons? No. Remember, we talked last week, those of you that were here, the Bible says that Satan rebelled against God in heaven and a third of the angels were cast to the earth. The third of the angels that came to the earth and rebelled against God are now what we call demons. When the Lord created them, they were not demons. They were angels and they were holy and they were godly. But then after they were cast out of heaven, they now are referred to as demons, and that's who the Lord's dealing with. And every time he came upon these guys, what did he say? Or rather, what did they say? We know who you are. They knew him. They recognized him. They knew his power. They knew his authority. And basically, they were scared to death of him. And so they're crying out saying, you know what? We know who you are. But still, the Lord would silence them and cast them out. And again, here, verse 42, again, as we said, when it was day, in the midst of all this busyness, now when it was day, that is the next morning, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Now, guys, here's the thing, first of all, that we want to get back to. As I already said, he finished his hard day. He had more needs to meet. What did he do? Guys, he set aside the time to be with the Lord. And notice this. He realized, once my day gets started, I'm probably going to lose it. Now, I'm not going to lay a trip on you about when you seek the Lord. I'm going to say this. If you want to meet the overwhelming needs that are in your life, you're going to have to set aside time to get God's strength. Because the Lord, if he knew that he had to get aside to get God's power, how much more do we? We need to receive God's power. If he does, we need it all the more. Jesus set aside the time every day to receive that power. And notice when he did it, early in the morning. Now, it's interesting. Mark's gospel tells us that he got up long before daylight. Again, I'm not going to say that it's wrong if you don't have your quiet time in the morning and you have it some other time. I'm simply saying this. There is wisdom in that. And let me give you the wisdom. Listen, if you've got a day ahead of you that you don't know what's coming around the curve, but the Lord knows every turn, how much better to go and spend that time with the Lord so that you can receive his direction, receive his commands, and be prepared when you come upon those situations. It's just like going into battle. You go into battle, what do you need? You need your battle plans. You need to spend time with your general. The Lord did that. He would get up, he would go alone, spend time, and he also knew that the demands were so great that he had to get alone. Now notice this, he had to sneak away and get alone, and I can see him getting up early in the morning and tiptoeing out of the house. Because notice it says the crowd, notice what it says here. It says, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. You see, guys, Jesus, the demand on him was overwhelming. He had to sneak away to protect that time. Here's my point, listen. Whatever you have to do to protect that quiet time with the Lord, do it. Whatever you've got to set aside to make sure that nobody interrupts it. I don't care what it is. If you have to tiptoe out when the kids are out back playing and you don't always say goodbye, sneak out, go have your quiet time and come back. Dad, where were you? We were all looking for you everywhere. Hey, listen, I was just going back and getting rejuvenated with the Lord. Now I'm ready to deal with the rest of this day. And guys, you need that time. You've got to have it, whatever it might be. Maybe it's lunchtime at work. You need to sneak away maybe and go someplace alone. Go to the park. Have your sandwich next to the lake, whatever it might be. But spend the time with the Lord. Get built up. Get rejuvenated. Get strengthened. See, the Lord knew that that was the key to strength. That is the key to strength. And he did it. That daily need that needed to be met, he had to spend that time with the Lord. And what's amazing to me, guys, note this. It says he was up late the night before meeting all the needs of the people. Now, again, I don't know about you, but if I'm up late meeting needs, whatever those needs might be, I feel like, you know what? I deserve to sleep in. And I'm not saying that you don't. I'm simply saying that if you know that the needs of the next day are going to be as overwhelming as the needs before, sometimes you have to make a choice. Am I going to be physically strong or spiritually strong? Jesus, it's interesting to note here that although he was up late, he rose before the sun rose for this simple reason. He understood that it's more important to be strong spiritually than to be strong physically. Now, am I saying that means we're not supposed to have a good night's sleep? Not at all. As a matter of fact, we know that if we don't get a good night's sleep, we're not going to be healthy. But guys, I think that some of us could probably sacrifice a little bit of sleep on either end to make sure that we have that time with the Lord somewhere in between. And Jesus realized that priority has got to be there. And I want to say to those of you this morning, right now, especially that are overwhelmed, are you spending that time with the Lord? Because I can guarantee you, if Jesus had not gotten alone and spent time with the Father, he would not have had what he needed to spend time with the people during the day. And if you're overwhelmed right now, you're going to need that time alone with the Father in order to be able to meet the needs of the people in the day. It's extremely important. And yet what is also interesting to me about this, I never noticed Jesus lacking in physical strength. Although he did sacrifice, and let me say this, if you're going to set aside that time with the Lord, you're going to have some sacrifice. I'm not talking works. Now, this is where we talked about the South and the mentality that we have in the South. There's almost kind of a works mentality in many circles in the southern region, if you will, the Bible Belt. And that is all the things we need to be doing for God. And we need to be praying this much and spending this much time in the Word. Listen, I'm not laying that trip on you. That's not what this is about. It doesn't matter as far as how much time you spend in the Word and spend in prayer. You're in the kingdom. It's what God has done for you, not what you can do for Him. But however, there is an element of sacrifice if we're going to be able to walk with the Lord with His power. And that is setting aside the time to seek His face. See, Jesus realized that. He set aside the time, and He never lacked, even in the physical area. Now we see that He did fall asleep from time to time on the boat. Remember the storm they came on? The storm was so bad, the disciples were freaking. They're like, we're going to die! And the Lord's like sleeping in the back. Don't you love that? I would say He was sleeping then because He didn't get much sleep that morning, because He knew the storm was coming. But see, here's the difference. If you get up in the morning and prepare for the storm, when it comes, you can rest. See, Jesus was the only one who was able to sleep during the storm because He realized, you know what? I've spent time with the Father. He's in control. He knows my needs. I know His power. And I feel confident not in me. I feel confident in Him. And I want to ask you this. If you're in the midst of the storm right now, are you finding God's rest? And if you're not, let me challenge you. Are you getting away and setting aside that time to be alone with the Lord? Because that's going to be the key. And let me say this. Listen, it's not weekly. It's not monthly. It's daily. Again, not laying a works trip, just saying necessity to be able to walk with the Lord and meet the demands and the needs just of normal life. On top of it, the needs of those around us. You've got to have that time. But again, the result it brings is rest in the midst of the storm. And the Lord was able to find that. But as I said, notice it says the crowd sought Him. I mean, there's not a moment's rest. It's like, I can see the Lord. I had this picture in my mind of Him somewhere and hearing the voices coming. It's like, all right, here goes my day. And I don't know about you, but I know that once the sun comes up on my day, it kicks in and it doesn't stop until the end. That's why it's so important that we have those special times we set aside, because if we lose them, they're gone. The Lord set it aside. He had it, and He realized that yesterday's manna would not meet today's need. And so He received it. Now, also notice, and this is interesting to me, this is key, guys. They tried to keep Him from leaving. The word really here, literally, it says they tried to hinder Him from doing what He knew that He had to do. See, in a minute, we're going to see that the Lord says, no, I must be about my Father's business. They were trying to hinder Him from what He was trying to do. Now, why do I bring this up? And why do I say that, point out the fact that they were trying to hinder Him? It's, listen, there are always going to be tremendous needs around you. The needs of those in your own family, the needs of those among your friends. What is the most important need in your life? Here's the most important need in your life that you need to be aware of. That is what God has called you to do and the needs God has called you to meet. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus Christ walked the earth, did He meet all the needs on the earth? He didn't. Do you realize that when Jesus died, not everyone was healed? Not every blind person could see. Not everyone deaf could hear. Not every problem was solved. Not every marriage was restored. Why do I say that? Because it's interesting that Jesus said this in John chapter 17. He said, Father, everything that You've given me to do, I've completed. Do you find that amazing? Everything You've given me, note that, everything You've given me to do, I have completed. Why do I bring that point up? Because that's the third thing I want to look at. First, we have the needs, and then we have to realize that we have to find strength to meet those needs with the Lord. The third thing we've got to do, guys, and this is extremely important, you have got to set priorities. And that is key. Because without priorities, you're going to find yourself like, as they say, a chicken with their head cut off. You've got to know what needs God has called you to meet and what needs God has called you not to meet. Let me ask you this. Are there always needs? Are the needs overwhelming? Are the needs weighing down on you in every place? Listen, I look around and see the needs and think, Lord, how can I possibly meet them all? And He says, I didn't call you to. And God hasn't called you to meet all the needs. What's my point? You've got to find out from the Lord as you spend that time with the Lord, God, what needs have You called me to meet? Now, I know You've called me to meet my family's needs. I know You've called me to meet the things around me that have to be obviously and immediately taken care of. But God, what have You called me to meet beyond that? What is the needs? I think some of us get so overwhelmed trying to meet needs that we've not been called to meet. And we find ourselves stretched to the limit, overwhelmed, and unable to do anything good because we're too stretched out, too thin, and in all the wrong areas. Here's my point. Are you overwhelmed this morning? I want to challenge you. What are your priorities? You see, Jesus had His priorities right. The Father comes first. After the Father comes the needs of those right around Him, the immediate needs. We would say our family. And then come the needs of the people, those that we can touch outside there. But guys, there's no way you're going to be able to meet all the needs. You can only meet the needs that God has called you to meet. And that's the needs you've got to focus on. That's the needs that the Lord focused on, setting priorities. Notice what He says in verse 43. And here's the priority part. He says, but he said to them, I must, note that, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Guys, here it is. Jesus knew what his call was. And in the midst of knowing his call, he also knew what needs he was supposed to meet in the midst of that call. I realize as a pastor, there's going to be a lot of needs come my way. But I also realize this, if I try to meet all the needs that are there and don't keep first things first and keep the main needs, then what God has called me to do is never going to take place. I'll give you an example, and it's easy to pick on pastors because I am one. But guys, there's a lot of churches that expect the pastor to do everything. Everything. Visit every person in the hospital, do home visits, prepare all the studies, travel around the world in missions. I mean, you name it, whatever the case might be. And all of those in their time and in their proper place are correct for the pastor to do. But for the demands that are often put on whatever it might be, whether it be pastor or whatever your situation might be, there's no way that that could ever be completed. Listen, if I spent all my time on that and didn't spend time preparing for Sunday morning, then when you came, what I'm called to do, and that is to teach you God's word, would never take place. Now, you have a call as well. I don't know what it is. But when you find your call, you've got to zero in on that call and say, all right, here's what I'm called to do. Here's what I have time for. There are lots of needs that could be met, but here are my priorities, and I'm going to keep my priorities in order. And if I keep my priorities in order, I will meet the needs that I'm called to meet, and I will take care of those that God has sent me to take care of. And guys, when we die, we'll be able to say the same thing, or rather, when we reach the end of our life, we'll be able to say the same thing the Lord said, and that is this, Father, I finished everything you've called me to do. It's amazing. Even as he said from the cross, it is finished. I hope that I can say that. And really, I guess for us in this passage, well, notice the last thing, because he had priorities, because he kept things in order, notice verse 44, it says, and he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Let me say this, guys. If it hadn't been for the Lord keeping priorities, that next verse wouldn't have been there. Because remember the demands of the people? They were saying, please stay with us, please meet our needs. And they were overwhelming, if you will. And God, yes, he cared about the needs, but he knew he couldn't take care of all the individual needs. He had others who had needs as well. He had to fulfill what the Father had called him to fulfill. And he went on and preached in the other synagogues. Guys, the question is this, and again, for us this morning, are you overwhelmed? And are you overwhelmed by the needs that are in your life? And let me ask you this. If you are overwhelmed by the needs, there's two things you need to look at. Number one, first of all, are you taking on things that God has not given you? You know, it's interesting. Jesus said this, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. He didn't say, give your life to me and I'm going to drive you in the ground. And so his burden is light. His yoke is easy. If you've got a heavy burden on your back, let me ask you something. Who gave it to you? Did you put it on yourself? Because the Lord didn't give it to you. God says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. But now let me give you the other side. Here's the flip side of that. Does that mean that we're not going to be very busy and at times stretched to the limit? It doesn't mean that at all. Yes, we are going to be very busy. We are going to be stretched to the limit. Look at the Lord. Overwhelming needs on a regular basis. And yet he was able to keep up. Why? Because the second thing, first of all, if you're overwhelming needs, what's the second thing he did? And that is he sought the strength and the power he needed to meet those needs. And guys, that's what we've got to do. We have to set aside that time to get the power and the strength so that when the needs come up, we can meet the needs. See, that's why the Lord, when his schedule became crazy, he didn't. Now, the other aspect of that is this, is you've got to filter out things that maybe God hadn't called you to do. You've got to filter out things that maybe God hasn't called you to be. I know people that volunteer for every ministry that comes down the pike. And although that's the pastor's dream, you're like the poster child of the church. When I get a poster put up, you just do everything that comes along. That's great because all the needs of the church get met. The problem is it's going to exhaust you and wear you down. You can't do that. You're going to have to set your own priorities and find out where it is that God's called you to meet. But then not only, again, going to the Lord, setting the priorities, our goal is what? Our goal is at the end of our life as believers, as Christians, to be able to say what the Lord said and really what he demonstrated for us here right here in this passage. And that is this, Father, everything that you've called me to do, I have finished. That's my goal. I know that I can't do everything. I know there's a lot of things I'll never be able to do, but I want to be able to say this, Father, everything you've called me to do, I want to be able to do. And I know you want to be able to say that as well. And the Lord shows us that it is possible to do that without being overwhelmed and burdened down. So this morning, I don't know if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling burdened down, if you're feeling swamped by whatever the situation might be, listen, let's take it to the Lord. Let's do what Jesus did. See, right now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Lord like he did when he snuck away. But we need a purpose in our heart this. Yes, we can go to the Lord right now, but what's going to happen tomorrow? A lot of you guys know that when tomorrow starts and the gun goes off, Monday kicks off, it doesn't have any mercy, does it? The boss is waiting. He expects his demands to be met. Dads, after that full day of pressure and stress and the demands met, when you go back home, you've got a wife there holding children up saying, I need help. And Jesus gave the example, we need to be there to give that help. And so the question is, how am I going to have the strength for tomorrow? How am I going to have the strength to help when that time comes? Then we've got to prepare beforehand. And that is, we've got to have our priorities in order, set aside the time with the Lord, find the strength from the Lord, and then God will give us the ability to meet the daily needs. And as we said earlier, to be able to say, Lord, I've done all you've called me to do. Let's ask him to do it now. Let's pray. Father, we do realize that we have sometimes needs, Lord, that seem overwhelming in our life. But if anyone ever faced what appeared to be overwhelming needs, it was you. Lord, everywhere you went, crowds were looking for you. You had to get up long before daylight and sneak away just to have that quiet time alone with the Father. And yet, Lord, you saw that that was the most important thing for you to do in order to be able to meet the needs that were coming in the day. Lord, let us understand that principle as well. And I pray this morning, God, that we would purpose in our hearts, Lord, not works, not our own efforts, not to try to be spiritual because of how we set aside our times to be with you, but Lord, simply realizing that, you know what? It's better that we be spiritually strong, even over physical strength. And if sometimes we have to lose a little sleep in order to be prepared for the demands of our day, God, give us the strength to do it and the fortitude, Lord, to plan ahead. And Father, I pray this morning for those here that are overwhelmed. I know that as many people as are here this morning, there are some, Lord, right now that are overwhelmed. I don't know what their situation is, Lord. It may be overwhelmed with family. It may be overwhelmed with work. It may be overwhelmed with friends. Whatever it might be, something in their life is overwhelming them. And yet, Lord, you were able to maintain. I pray, Lord, that you would help them right now to lay everything at your feet. And Lord, to realize that it's by your strength and by your power that these needs are going to be able to be met. Lord, I pray that you would move in their heart to set the proper priorities so that they're not overwhelmed and weighed down. And Lord, that not only will they have that rest and that peace and that light yoke, that easy burden that you give them, but Lord, even as we have said, at the end of their life, they will be able to see and they will be able to say, I have finished all that the Father has called me to do. Lord, teach us to be wise. And God, teach us to come to you for the strength we need for the call you've given us. Lord, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.